You are so close to your microphone.
I'm not that close. Also, I can't see you. There's
it's like too big for your face. What the f***? All right, we got to figure this out. What did you do? I just made yours great and mine sucks. No, that's fine. Keep talking. I'm still okay. You just
I can't see you.
Well, then lift your head above a little bit. Hey, sweetheart.
I'm having a hard week, guys.
Okay.
I'm having a real hard week, baby Stitch.
Hey, you try, girl. We made it through, though. We didn't give up.
We made it through. If you're wondering about the hat that I'm wearing, which I'm sure some of you are like,
what's up with the hat?
This is my pig hat. He has protective magical powers.
There are some people that are listening rather than watching. So describe your little pig hat to people.
He's pink.
He's pink.
He's a pig.
He goes on top of your head. Isn't he from Toy Story?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
I have no connection to Toy Story. I don't care about it. Uh-huh. I don't hate it. We just went to Disney Sea and everybody was buying all this cute, like, you know, I want to look silly, but I don't want to look bad silly. So they're buying all these like cute girly things that look sweet in their hair. And all the guys are just wearing like normal stuff. And then I was like, I want that big hat.
And you bought it. And now you wear it whenever you're feeling kind of like, you know, like low energy or not great. Yeah. Then, you know, like you put it on for a little bit of support.
The reason I use it for support is because I was, it was 2 years ago that we went to Disney Sea Disneyland. It was our first time ever. We went for our wedding anniversary. Was it like 9 years? Of that
it was a 9 year anniversary.
And it was our first time together to go like any Disney anything. Right.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
wow. It took us that long to go.
How would we have? We didn't live in North America, so we could never have gone to Florida.
It just seems like going to Disney is something that like everybody does. It's like not going to a McDonald's.
I guess.
You know?
But I mean like
even though McDonald's are much more readily available than
Disney.
We have
slightly unusual lives. Like we were going to Latte World and going to like, you know, Korean Everland and stuff like that.
Right.
But like we never set foot in Disneyland or Disney World.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
And so we stayed at a hotel, not the hotel because they're expensive. We stayed at one of the hotels that's like close to the resort.
Yeah.
And I couldn't get through the whole day.
Yep.
And it was really devastating because I feel like I'm very young.
Yep.
And like we got there as soon as the gate opened. Like we were those people that were like, we're first
we were there
in, you know,
right when they opened up.
And we almost did every single ride we ever wanted to do.
True.
I think we did all the major rides.
We did all the major rides.
Yeah.
True, yeah.
And then I just like shut down. Uh-huh. It was like, which sometimes happens. I become like a little robot that just like shuts down.
Uh-huh.
And we've learned now that not to be scared of these things. We've learned, like Simon just recently put up a video on dealing with being... I had to burp, but then I didn't want to leave the conversation, but I did it.
Well, you got to keep it now.
No one noticed. Simon did a video about like dealing with chronic illnesses from a spouse's perspective. It was very difficult.
It's not a catchy title. We discussed the title for a while.
Yeah, we were like, I don't know how to make this title like normal for people to understand. But one of them was that was very like panicky and very upsetting for us to see me go from like, you guys might have experienced this before where you're totally active, you're totally fine. And then suddenly it's like somebody pulled a power plug and you just shut down. And it's basically your body saying, you know what? You didn't listen to any of the things. I told you my knee hurt. Yeah. I told you my hip hurt. I told you I gave you eczema this morning. I did all this stuff.
Why are you still going on rides? You know what? Forget it. You're going on a timeout, Missy. Go back to your room. Put on your pig hat and you'll be fine.
And I think, did I bring my, I didn't bring my cane that time either.
No, you didn't.
And I was really like mad at myself because I was still getting to know my cane. I had I hadn't gone to the counselor yet to like deal with being like, it's okay to have a cane.
Right. You're a lot more comfortable now with using your cane than before.
Because I've realized that a mobility aid, it's literally made to aid you.
I can't like even remember like on our first year in Japan, like how guilty you felt for just using the elevators.
Yeah.
Like, girl, of course you need the elevator.
I know, but the feeling is just that like you think other people are judging you and you're concerned that you're going to make a bad image for all the foreigners because you look like, oh, it's a lazy foreigner.
Well, I think if anybody's judging you for that, then they're an asshole.
Right.
And
so
they're probably just like, just assholes.
We can say asshole now because we're not on the radio show.
Hey!
It's like from Best Friends.
It's not a government pay program anymore.
It's not paid at all.
Nobody's paid at all.
But if you're looking to pay us,
hey,
we're open for sponsorships. So don't you guys want to hear us do something like, this episode
is brought to you by Nestle Quick. Who still drinks that?
When
I was a kid, do you remember those like metal tins of Nestle Quick? And they like were squarely, but they had a circular bit and then you had to like pop it up with the metal spoon and then you scoop out. Did you ever have those Nestle Quick powders?
My parents didn't buy Nestle Quick.
Well,
I'm
glad
junk food
because it was terrible. It's just like it was always like dry and there'd be like a little bit of moisture and you get these like clumps in there. It was never, ever enjoyable. And I remember when the syrups came out, like, holy shit. Smokies.
Holy smokies.
They had syrup, but we still use the powder because it's cheaper. I wonder if they still have the powder.
Of course they do. Of course they still have the powder.
Yeah.
Hey, remember, we really wanted to do that joke video, which, like, you guys might have.
When we go back to Canada.
Should we reveal any of it? Let's give a little bit of an inside joke.
So, for those three of you that are watching this, more than three people.
More than three, four.
When we go back to Canada, we want to do a video now that we're, like, adults.
Yeah.
And we have...
You know, money to spend that isn't like when you're in high school and you're like saving up money.
And you know, we ain't got kids, so we could spend our money on other things. And what we're going to do, we're going to show off our bling bling lifestyle by going to grocery stores and buying the things that we always wanted to buy as kids. Like, instead of just buying the no-name
ice
cream.
I'm going to pick up the no-name powder, and then you're going to slop it on my hands and go for the Nestle powder, and then instead I'm going to slop that out of your hands.
Instead of President's Choice cola, I'm not sure if you know President's Choice. It's no like president has ever chosen this. I'm not even sure if the president of the student council has chosen this.
So would you prefer a Coca-Cola or perhaps President's Choice?
No president has ever chosen this, but it was like the really cheaper brand cola. No, I'm going to reach for that. And then instead we're going to like grab the Pepsi because I can never afford the actual name brand stuff.
We're going to go for Taco Bell.
And this is going to be how we're celebrating YouTube.
We're going to go to Taco Bell and then we're going to be like, no, extra guacamole.
What song are you singing?
That's the do-do-do-do-do song. It's for like things have done well.
Speaking about profound wastes of money.
Oh.
Okay.
How did you manage to remember this?
I know. You thought that I was going to forget. I'm going to tell embarrassing stories. You're lucky I don't tell the Thailand cheese story. I think that's just going to go for a Rainbow Ladder support video. But instead, I'm going to just tell this embarrassing story.
Go for it.
So there is a whiskey shortage in Japan for a specific whiskey. It's the Hibiki. I think that they said they're closing down their plant for like a couple years so they could get more natural like resources for making. I think that's a story along the lines, something like that.
Essentially, like there's one of the kind is called Hibiki 17.
Yeah.
And it's been aged for like 17 years. Mm. And so people didn't know this, but since they stopped making it, they finally announced that they're like, we're not making any more, which means whatever's left in the world right now,
that's it,
is the end of it.
Yep.
So,
and we like that whiskey. It's, it's a good whiskey.
Yeah.
You know, we've had it plenty of times, but now that they're not making it anymore, you can't find it anywhere.
And I tried. I told Simon, you know, marked my words. I said to you, Ducky, I like woke up in the morning, I'm like, I read this article. We need to go out right now and get Hibiki 17. And Simon's like, it'll be fine.
I went to the store, all gone. Other store, all gone. Went to the alcohol shops.
Everything's
gone. All the liquor stores don't have it. It's totally gone. So Martine's like, okay, I'm going to do some Amazon hunting.
Yeah.
And she found it. She's like, okay, so it's $90 instead of like the regular like 20 to 30 or so. But like a 3x markup. Okay, we're going to keep this. This is for like special memories. We'll only have this. Like we could probably sell this for like $3,000 later on.
Side note, I'm pretty sure Hibiki 17 costs way more than $20.
I don't know how much it costs. I never.
We've only bought it once.
Right?
Yep.
I think you bought it.
We've bought it once only years ago at the airport. And it's now my vanilla extract bottle.
Right.
We had it. Like when you go to a bar and you can order Hibiki 17 because you want to turn to the camera and go, for special times, make it Suntory time. And you want to have your Hibiki 17. But the point is that
you found one.
I found one. And so I was like, this is actually more reasonably, like this is almost the price of it. So like, I'm going to get it before it hacks up.
Right. So then Martina orders it off of Amazon, $90. It comes in the next day.
It's a big box.
Like you got a big, well, it wasn't even that big of a box because it was a long, thin box. Like maybe like, how big is that? I have no sense of measure. Is that 2 inches?
It doesn't matter.
Okay. It's 2 inches thick. I'm like, how do you fit a bottle in there? And then I open it up and I see a whole bunch of bubble wrap. I'm like, how do you fit a bottle in all the bubble wrap? Turns out the bottle's only like 3 inches big.
It's basically an airplane sampler.
It was an airplane sampler that Martina bought for $90. $90 for something that we would get for free on an airplane. Well, not for free on an airplane.
Airplanes don't give you Hibiki 17.
Okay, fine. Well, it's a little sampler.
No, it's the size of an airplane bottle.
It's the size of an airplane.
None of us.
Okay, sure.
Not even if you fly first is giving you Hibiki 17. I mean, I don't know, but I don't.
Point is, you spend $90, and for those of you that are watching this video, I wanted to be able to show it to you, but it's such a small bottle that we lost it.
We didn't lose it. I wrapped it, and I hid it.
Where?
I'm not telling you.
You don't even know.
I know where it is.
I think you don't know.
We were going to return it, but then I was like, the amount of effort that goes into returning this, and I'm sure this person is like, because how do you return it?
Right.
Because they'd say, I told you the milliliters.
I told you. It said so. You just didn't read it when you bought it.
I read it. I just didn't know that the amount of like
you didn't
milliliters.
Know that 3 milliliters.
It didn't say 3. It said something like 90, but it was milliliters. So I was in my head thinking like, oh, it's probably like grams.
To be fair, you are absolutely terrible at any sense of numbers whatsoever. I don't even think you know phone numbers. you're just so bad. You're just like, Siri, call 9, 6, 7, 11
11,
call pizza, pizza. Hey, hey, hey.
How dare you, sir?
How dare you, girl?
4, 3, 0, 4, 3, 9
Pizza Nova. You memorize and pizza numbers.
This podcast has been brought to you by, it hasn't been, but I'd like them to.
Pizza Nova or Pizza Pizza, are you watching? Because we could do this podcast for you. How can we get Pizza Nova or Pizza Pizza here in Japan? We can't. But when we're back in Canada, because we're going to be back in August, maybe we could do something there. Probably not. Because we're going to be seeing family.
Good story, brah.
I got another story I want to tell.
Well, hang on. The point of this wrap-up story is that I'm embarrassed. I will learn my measurements from now on if I want to order something.
Sure.
Because the real problem was I was panicked. Uh-huh. Because I thought, like, when you went on Amazon, it was literally just sold out.
Yeah.
There was no option.
You saw the only one. You're so like, I'm going for it.
And I was like, oh, I'm doing it. It's going to be worth it. Because I thought I'd never open it. And then, like, years from now, like, we could either open it or give it to an enthusiast or sell it.
To be
and
honest.
And now I can't sell it to anyone.
I'm going to call you out on this. I actually don't think you know where it is.
I know where it is.
Do you honestly? Yeah. Look me in the eyes. Are you telling me the truth?
I'm 80% sure that I know where it is right now.
See?
It's either in a little pouchy pouch that I put down there, or it's off in that little box behind there. And there's only two places.
Only two places. Or did you drink it? You're just like, screw it. $90. Here you go. Rain. Did you drink it?
Of course not.
Are you lying to me?
I'm not lying to you.
Okay, I trust you. Mm-hmm. Because we have a trusting relationship.
Of course, I would never
and you
drink.
Wouldn't drink a $90
I wouldn't.
Sampler bottle.
I'm never going to. I'm going to die with it. It's going to be like.
We're bringing it with us forever. Buried. And you know what? We'll like auction it in our funerals.
Yep.
Yeah.
what a chipper.
Who wants to buy?
One used pig hat, slightly velvety and worn out. Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of dying.
Yeah.
We went for ramen.
Right.
That could kill someone.
Yeah. This is like, I think I remember like the way that you described this, like this place is like a offshoot branch of Jiro Ramen, and Jiro Ramen is a really famous ramen. This is kind of like the second or third kitchen that they have.
So essentially, we might have talked briefly about this once, maybe a little bit on an old
in another podcast,
but this is a new experience we had there.
So,
essentially, hang on, let me explain Jiro a little bit. So Jiro is a yellow awning, and then it just says ramen with like plain black writing on it in Japanese.
Right.
And they're all over Japan. And basically, it's almost like a chain where every single person is a master that has their own strong opinion.
Yep.
So it's not a chain because it doesn't have a single formula.
Yeah, but there's no formulaic thing. No. Like a Big Mac in Japan is similar to a Big Mac.
Yeah. But here's the interesting thing. Every place is like an abnormal carnival like ramen.
Right.
So that is the one thing that is similar.
Yeah.
Every ramen is either monstrous, like they have some where it's like this tall and like, you know, when we first saw it was in the
oh, was that it?
That's where I first saw it.
So
she went for Jiro Ramen and her friend came and she wanted to like get the big one and the girl's like, no, don't do it.
Martina was singing the theme song from a Netflix show that we watched about a girl in high school that really likes ramen, and one of the episodes she goes to Jiro. I didn't know that it was that one.
And it wasn't from Netflix. It was from like an anime streaming site. But anyhow, because if it was on Netflix, I'd watch it again. But anyway, so that was what I watched. Then we went to Kyoto and one of our friends was like, I really want to go to this famous ramen shop.
Yeah.
And we went with him. And when we got there, I saw the yellow thing and I went, oh my God, it's Jiro's. Yeah. He's like, oh, you know Jiro's.
Yeah.
But it was closed that day because they can do whatever they freaking want.
It was actually because the owner was sick.
Oh, right. But
like
I'm
had a little sign like, I'm sorry, I have a tummy ache or something.
Yeah, but I'm saying like if the owner's not there, it doesn't open. It's not one of those shops that it's like, well, someone else will take over.
No,
like,
there
is no one
else.
So he never went and he was really disappointed. And then we were going for a stroll in our neighborhood and we walked past this big yellow awning and we were like, gosh, that looks like Jiro.
Yep.
And one day we decided to go in and we discovered that it is indeed very Jiro-esque with its gigantic
so
pile sizes.
They give you a bowl, like say, like if you could imagine holding a bowl in your two hands,
like a ramen bowl,
like a ramen bowl. Then they have a whole other bowl's worth of bean sprouts on top of it, right there. It's a ludicrous amount of food to eat by our standards now, because like we like our tummies are so small.
Yeah, but
like,
even by Japanese standard, it's ludicrous. That's what's so carnival about it. It's
sure,
very...
but I think by Japanese standards, it's ludicrous. But like when we've been watching Ugly Delicious and we've been seeing the portion sizes that they're getting there, it's like American portion sizes are monstrous.
Well, we experienced that. Like when we were in Texas, like a tall size frappuccino was like.
So if you're in Texas, this is pretty much like a small soda size of ramen.
Yeah,
like,
but I mean it's huge. But the point is that so we've gone back there a couple times and I follow them on Twitter, and they recently put out a tweet saying that they had super spicy ramen with like a person with a fire mouth, and I wrote back with like, I love spicy ramen, and they liked my tweet,
right?
And then I was like, Ducky,
we gotta
I want to try this death spicy ramen.
Yeah,
so we got there just before it opened. And we were like seventh in line because this place already had a lineup.
So like it opens at 5 p.m. and there were already like four people in front of us by the time like they actually opened up.
And what's so interesting about this place is like I want you to imagine how many people do you think can sit there? Eight maybe? Because I was number four and then there was about four more.
Eight.
Literally.
I was number four. You were five.
I was five, yeah.
And then there was a businessman beside you who like slammed down two beers before his ramen even came out.
And then finished his ramen before we finished somehow.
Yeah.
Even though he got his way after us.
But he was a baby. He was just sweating and pouring and going, because he was complaining about the spice and he didn't even order the spicy one. He ordered like the regular one. You could get spice on the side and he got it and he was just hurting.
So here's the part where I want to explain to you guys about like the joy that we feel when we go to these shops. Right. And I want you guys to experience this if you come to Japan or if you live in your own neighborhood and you haven't explored because sometimes finding a like hole in the wall that definitely seems a little bit on the dirty side, but not dirty, but like a little bit kind of sketchy is so rewarding.
I mean, there's so many things about this place that are just like weird or like bad design. Mm. Like when you're waiting in line, they have the air conditioner vent or like the kitchen vent right there. So whoever's fifth in line,
you're like,
is just getting a face full of like greasy hot air being blown like, right at them.
Yeah.
When you sit down inside.
No, like, no, you haven't even sat yet. When you first walk in, the vending machine, everything is handwritten.
Yeah.
And it's not handwritten Japanese. Uh-huh. It's like graffiti Japanese. Right. So they made like 3D noodle shapes of hiragana, which is almost illegible.
Yeah.
So when they have a new version, which was the spicy one, it was also handwritten. I could barely understand. So you're reading this. You're pouring sweat because everyone's waiting in line like, hurry up.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
fortunately, we knew what we were going to order before we got there.
And they have weird things. Yeah. Like instead of having like a soft onsen egg, they have five little quail eggs.
Yeah.
So we're like,
quail eggs and ramen? That's not common.
I mean, you can. It's normal here, but like when you look at it, you go, well, this is, I don't know what this means in Japanese.
Right, right.
And then we realized it's freaking quail eggs. Uh-huh. Then after you get your tickets, you have to turn to your left, pick up your own spoon, pick up your own water glass and fill it with water and then go take your seat. And your seat has to be in order. One, two, three, four, five,
six, seven, eight. And right in front of you is like a little like refrigerator magnet with a number on it.
Yep.
And when you give them your ticket, then they have their own corresponding refrigerator magnets with those numbers. And they put your ticket there so they can remember what food you've ordered.
And then just before they're going to serve you up, they say to you, Ilban or like Iban, like they're calling out like your numbers, right?
That's
and
Korean.
Was I in Korean there? You're sorry. Ichi, no, ichi, ichi ni. Yes. Il, I, sam, sa, o. Oh, shoot. I'm in Korean.
We're going back to Korea in August, by the way.
Yes, for a YouTube event.
Yes.
Excited.
Anyhow,
they call your number.
Yes.
And there's a piece of paper on the wall.
Yeah.
Handwritten with markers, like Crayola markers.
Yeah.
Everyone is written with a different color. It literally looks like they took a six-year-old and they said, write this out for me. So and it just says toppingu in Japanese.
Yeah, so toppings are yasai.
Which is vegetables.
Karashi.
Yep, which is spice.
Niniku, which is garlic. And then they have abura.
Abura, which is oil.
Yeah, oil.
Took us forever to read abura because it was so poorly written. We're like, abu.
When you're sitting there and you're like, waiting and watching, there's one guy who is the master ramen maker and the other guy that's there doesn't touch anything.
He's like an apprentice.
He just watches the guy making
like
his stuff.
Hawk.
Doesn't even cut the meat,
doesn't smile.
The only thing he does is he'll serve drinks. And so like the guy that like ordered two beers beside us, he's like serving that guy beers, but otherwise he's literally just staring at the master make the food. When the master's making his food, he like takes out noodles and he like bites in the middle. It's like and you can see him like scowling trying to figure out if it's like hard enough or like soft enough yet.
If I was to describe it, imagine sitting at a counter and when you look over the counter, to the left of you is a meat station. Beside that is the ramen bowls laid out. We can see all this clearly, by the way, because that's how open this is. Then you have the noodles that are being cooked in the pot. Then you have a sink for rinsing. And then behind him are three ginormous people-sized vats.
Huge vats. You could hide a body in there.
And there's an oar.
Yeah.
Like a oar for a canoe.
Like it's big enough for a canoe. And he's using that to stir up the broth that's going on. He hasn't cleaned any of those vats since like 1972.
We don't know they look filthy.
They're like as brown as like this counter right here that radio listeners can hear.
Dirty. It's not like a cockroach infested dirty.
No.
It's like a taught it like a sauce that's been crusted over like a cast iron pan.
Sure.
You know, and we heard rumor of this that in Japan there are some ramens that have been around for hundreds of centuries because they just keep feeding
adding
the pot,
more and more to it.
Kind of like how some bread that's made with real natural sourdough. Yeast, you know, and other breads, the starters are passed on. Yep. So you can be eating a bread that people ate, you know, hundreds of years ago.
You ordered the spicy ramen.
I did. And Simon ordered the special ramen.
I ordered the special one. It was a super oily one. Not my favorite ramen that they made there. They had a ginger one before that was phenomenal.
Oh my gosh. In the wintertime, cleared up our nostrils.
I think now that I'm getting to be like an older man, like I when we speak to our Japanese friends, like older Japanese men don't really like oily meat. So a lot of people don't, like a lot of Japanese men aren't fond of Kobe beef. Because Kobe beef is too oily.
Yeah.
Or tonkotsu ramen is too oily. So they prefer like a shio or a shoyu ramen. Mm-hmm. I got a super oily one. I think I'm of the age now that maybe it's too oily for me.
I also think that was 2 inches of oil. So if I was to just...
Every time I spooned it, it had like that rim. Kind of like, you know, those like Cascade commercials. Where you like, where like, you put it in, you just see the oil separate. Like it was separated oil.
That's why I said this place is like a carnival. Like deep fried Oreos, like, you know, chili fries covered with bacon, covered with maple pecans. Uh-huh. And you're like, you shouldn't eat that. And you're like, but I'm gonna. And
your super spicy one.
Yes.
You ripped through it and like you weren't even sweating or complaining.
It was not literally spicy. It was like level one cocoa curry.
It was like tingly.
Yeah. I was like, I think it's there.
The two like men that were working there were like, holy shit, this is super segoy. This girl in her like little pink dress. Like you were the only woman there. You were the only woman there. Right? To the right of us were university students.
I'd like to thank all the women of the world who like spicy food.
This cutie foreigner girl comes in there, starts hoovering the spicy stuff.
Eat men.
And they're like, what's happening? So then they actually like chopped up some pepper.
Cute things, but also can play sports.
And they brought you this little like small like diameter tray.
Yeah, of like chopped chili peppers. Yeah.
So then you put a little bit in. You're like, yeah, that's right. And then you dump the rest of it in. And they're like, what? What is this woman doing?
Because I'm finished eating first, so he told me what they were doing. And I heard them mumbling to each other because they were like, oh, home 20 is
super sugo.
And I heard them like mumbling and kind of laughing.
Yeah.
And I just thought that it wasn't about me. But Simon was like, nope, I was watching them. They were looking at you, looking back. You.
Yep. So that's.
I mean, it was really good.
It was good. Like, I really enjoyed yours. Yeah. I enjoyed yours a lot more than
I think
I
broke
mine.
A sweat from the heat of the day. I think a single droplet was like, I was like, oh my.
It wasn't
and then I was
sweat.
Fine again.
It wasn't spice sweat. It was heat sweat.
But here's my favorite thing about this place. Mm. We were talking about this after we left. Right. There is a haphazardous chaos about that place where majority of places we've been to in Japan are so precise. Yeah. Like when they cut the char siu in front of you, every piece is like weighed.
Equal size.
Meticulous.
Yep.
This guy has this pot where he's boiling. It is the softest. It might be one of the softest char siu I've ever had because it's
he can't
boiling.
Even pull it out of the pot without the weight of its own meat just
falling.
Ripping itself off.
He puts it on the thing and he just goes like, ah, with his knife and just chops wildly. And then he just sprinkles them into people's bowls. Uh-huh. And he's kind of like, you get more of this, you get more of that.
And then sometimes he look at a bowl, is like, that one has too much. And you just like grab out of that bowl. It's like, this one has too many noodles. And you pull the noodle out and be like, and he just like keeps on going back and forth.
Yeah.
There's definitely like a
artsiness,
eccentricity to him
sure.
You don't see in other like ramen shops. Yeah. And I love this place for it.
And that's why I think we understand now the power of the Jiro chain.
Right.
I think that we kept thinking like it was like, oh, this place is really good, which is why it's popular. But I think it's a combination of like, I heard that the people who like their Jiro chain are fanatic to that chain.
Oh.
It's not like,
because I read reviews about this Jiro chain and there have been a lot of negative reviews
because that's not their Jiro chain.
Because like other people that like love their own Jiro chain, they go to this one, they're like, this isn't the right kind.
So I read in Ramen Walker,
it's kind of like K-pop fans.
That's exactly what I was gonna say, Dad. Yes. It's like they don't mind all existing in the K-pop world together.
Right.
Like, we're all K-pop stars. Everyone's like, yep, we all have ramen shops. And then someone's like, but my ramen shop's better. And someone's like, I will cut you.
Can you imagine if we did Ramen Review Mondays, in which we put like ramens up against each other and we reviewed them and we rated them? And I probably get like a whole bunch of like angry.
Oh, for sure we would.
How dare
we
you?
We thought that with our Saito video. People were like, but have you been to Jiro's? Which consequently is unrelated to Jiro Ramen. It's Jiro Sushi.
Jiro Sushi. Because everyone's saw the documentary.
I know, but all you need to do is go online to actual Japanese sites and you'll see where Jiro ranks. He's not bad.
Yeah.
He's just not the best. You know who's actually number one in all of Tokyo for 30-year running?
Saito.
Saito.
Right.
We didn't just make it up. No. We weren't like...
Tenzushi is also like a gold...
Yeah, he's third or second. Yeah.
Yeah, he's really high up there.
We're not just showing these places because we're like trying to be difficult. No. We're like, what do Japanese people rate number one?
Exactly.
Let's go try it. And then people are like, liars. Right. I'm like, why are we... I didn't make it up.
So the whole point is, I just thought about doing this ROM review.
Oh my
thing,
God, Ducky.
But I'm worried about
our fatness.
Yeah. We just made a promise yesterday that we're going to be a little bit healthier, didn't we? Hide your kids. Hide your wife.
Luckily, only the video people can watch this and no one knows my shame.
Martina is drinking a rosé right now.
There's no proof of that.
There's video proof. Anyone that's listening to this can easily head on over to YouTube.
We don't
Simon and Martina bonus. Check it out. Episode 3 of our Tokyo Tales.
There's no video channel. We're not even YouTubers. We only do podcasts exclusively.
Okay. So that's it for this week.
Yeah. Hey, we have a strawberry timer this time.
We have a timer because our camera died for last time. And guess what? You're not looking at our crotches this time anymore.
Crotchgate. Yeah. We have a couple things to say that we're sorry about. So if you are a podcast listener, you didn't suffer any of this because the audio goes on forever.
Yeah.
And so you didn't know that the camera cut out.
Right.
So the people watching
the
it on
camera,
video.
So this time you locked it in so it's not pervin on our crotches.
Yes.
Somebody said it looks like Binging with Babish. It was more like pervin with Percy. Just staring at our legs the whole time in our crotches. So this time somebody remembered to lock the tripod. Good job, girl.
Thanks. What I need you to do is to go check because we set play on the timer for 28 minutes, but we actually started that earlier. So I need you to go check. I'll sing a song. Okay, ready?
Okay.
My ducky has a first name. It's S-I-M-O-N.
Yeah, we got a couple minutes left.
My ducky has a second name. It's D-U-C-K-Y.
Simon
it's
Ducky.
Simon
here.
Ducky, that's your name.
All right.
He's the
So Martina's kind of
for me.
Lost for this one. Thanks, everyone, for listening to our third podcast. We'll come back next week with some more.
My question for you guys is this.
Yes.
Can you please leave us in the comment section below if there's any topics for the podcast that you'd like us to go over? Because we have never had a comment section. We've only ever had
Korea
Twitter.
Versus Japan. Tell us what you think.
Stop
about
asking
it still.
That. It made me so sad that people are so angry.
Yes.
Like, it means we're angry.
Who's your favorite K-pop idol? What do you think about BTS?
Are you saying DBS? What, are TVXQ still five or are they
TVXQ?
Only two? BTS is the best band ever, right?
There's so many new viewers that just don't know the trauma that we went through back
then. That's
when
fine. Just let us know if there's something you want us to talk about. Do you want us to talk about DisneySea? Do you want us to talk about vegetables?
I just like telling stories. I like writing down notes and telling stories.
We'll tell stories whenever we can. But if there's something that you guys want us to like investigate, it will be fun for us to try out. And maybe we can make a video of it if we don't make a podcast of it.
Perhaps.
Yeah. So I'm going to say take care, everybody. Oh, shoot.
What?
I wanted to read something from my phone.
We literally don't have
time,
girl.
I took screenshots of some of your comments.
Look, 23, 22, 21.
Okay. Guys, thanks for hanging out with us this week.
Yep.
And
see you next week.
We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.